This is The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith and with Helen Scales.
It's now time for Kitchen Science, and it's quite an unusual Kitchen Science this week because it was based at an event run by the Royal College of Pathologists and the Natural History Museum in London. And we sent Ben along to a simulated disease outbreak, and he was there to learn about the roles that pathologists play when we're faced with something that could turn into a disease epidemic.
For this week's Kitchen Science, I have come along to the Royal College of Pathologists in London to join a team from the Natural History Museum to tackle an outbreak of infectious disease. Not a real one, you'll be pleased to hear, but an opportunity to see the real-life techniques used in this sort of situation. The first we heard about the outbreak was on the news.
We are here in central London at the site of what may be the origin of the mysterious disease that has so far left several workmen critically ill in hospital and claimed the life of another. Building has disturbed a previously unknown medieval vault. 4 days ago, workmen unearthed this vault during routine excavation as part of the Central London Regeneration Programme. Those involved are now critically ill in the London Hospital of Infectious Diseases, with one fatality already reported.
The workmen had stumbled across an ancient vault, but it had a much more recent corpse inside. To help us find out what had happened to the corpse in the vault, and by doing so, give us clues as to what could be wrong with the workmen, Dr. Nikki Cohen took me through the results of an autopsy.
So we have a body in front of us, and looking at him, we can see that he's got some blood around his mouth and his eyes, and he's got blackened toes and fingers. And that blood picture is making me think that maybe he's got a blood clotting disorder. On top of that, he's got some insect bites around his ankles, and he's got a swelling on the side of his neck. I don't know what it is, I'll take a sample of it later. But putting that together with the insect bites and the rats that we know were in the crypt, I'm concerned that he's got an infection and he's died of an infection which would fit with the live bodies from the patients in the hospital. As to what causes this, I think it's difficult and I don't know, but I guess something like mumps is an infection that can give you swollen glands in your neck, although not many people die of the mumps, of course. We know there were rats involved, so leptospirosis, Viles disease might give us something similar to that, and that can cause blood clotting disorders. But in terms of putting that all together with the lumps in the neck, what I'm most concerned about is Yersinia pestis, which is plague, and we need to do some tests to find out if that's what it is.
By looking at the sample taken from the swelling in the neck under a microscope, we were able to confirm the worst. The swelling contained Yersinia pestis bacteria, the plague. There are two stages of plague infection, bubonic and pneumonic. Bubonic plague causes the distinctive swellings on the body, or buboes, but is transmitted from one person to another through a vector, in this case, fleas. Now, most people think of plague as a medieval disease, long since wiped out, but Martin Hall, an entomologist at the Natural History Museum, explains how outbreaks of plague still happen today.
Plague is found naturally in rodents in places like Southeast Asia, South America, Africa. There are wild rodents that have plague naturally in them, and they actually don't really suffer. They don't die from the disease. They're acting as what we call reservoir hosts. They just maintain the disease. But now and again, something happens to break that cycle. There might be a big outbreak of rats, and those rats become infested with the plague, and these domestic rats are much more susceptible to plague, and they can die. When they die, the fleas that were feeding on them don't have anything to feed on, so they go and look for something else to eat, and they may land on you and bite. Then the bubonic plague is transmitted to you.
So it seems that the corpse in the vault contracted the plague and then died in the vault. The fleas living on the rats in the vault picked up the bacteria and passed it on to the workmen when they discovered the vault. Bubonic plague is treatable with antibiotics, but if this outbreak continues, the plague could progress to become the pneumonic form, which is spread through the air and has a 90% fatality rate. So the clock is ticking for us to take control of the outbreak before this happens. And this is where I need your help. What should we do to contain the outbreak and avoid a national epidemic of plague? I asked a few of the other amateur pathologists who had come along for the event.
We ought to kill every rat we see.
You need to let all of the GPs know in the area so that they can notify the people who are in charge of communicable diseases.
We said to trap the rats and then, like, poison them, but then we were saying about the fleas and that we should burn the rats to maybe, like, get rid of the fleas, and then we could quarantine anyone that has symptoms.
So what steps do you think we should take to contain an outbreak of plague? Kill all the rats, shut down the underground, quarantine central London, perhaps. When we come back later on in the show, I'll let you know what we decided, and if it was enough to stop a plague outbreak of medieval proportions.
So, what would you do if you were faced with deciding on how to control an outbreak of the plague? Would you whack the rats? What would you do? Let us know. And also, if you've got any questions at all about pathology, we've got Adrian Newland from the Royal College of Pathologists going to be here in the studio, who's keen to answer your questions. So do let us know. Chris at thenakedscientist.com.